Commission of the Port of Port Townsend is now in session. Please stand for Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I have to go check out the papers.
Oh, no!
But I'm with you on the agenda.
You got that? Okay. I guess we still have a quorum.
Yeah, well, on the consent agenda, oh, we're not there yet. Never mind. Regular agenda. I move what we approve the agenda.
I second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Okay. Public comments. Should there be any?
Yes.
Pam Petronic.
Okay.
Please step forward and be recognized.
Hello, I'm Pam Petronic. The port's timeline for the executive director search suggests national recruitment begins next week. And I am respectfully asking the commission for the following considerations. 3. Number 1, ensure the elected commissioner of November 5th have a legitimate and equal role in this process. Number 2, include the public in the process. Number 3, work with key stakeholders. And then this whole process can rebuild public trust with participation and shared responsibility.
Thank you. I think we fully intend to do all those things.
Yay!
So we're good to go. Bertram.
I want to thank Jim Pabarnik for accomplishing something that needed to be done for 2 years. He turned off the radio at ACI. You can't imagine the difference. Before, for the last 2 years, we have had this violent stuff coming out, and the people there, it's changed the whole culture in that D-Dock, where people just keep their boats there, but they don't spend any time there. So it's been about a week now, hasn't it, Jim? And you can't believe it. You hear the cocker cocking, the birds going, people stopping and talking, and I have another boat. I'm crazy enough to have two boats here. A dock is a vibrant community. It's happening now on D dock. So it really, it was a great thing, and I really want to thank him for doing that.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Good job, Jim.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my name's Pam, too.
Okay.
I just read quickly your agenda. Are you planning or looking at another 3% increase in rates?
The adjustment that's written into the rate, the standard rate. So it's adjustment for the consumer price index. It's not a step increase okay. On top of that.
Okay.
But now is a good time to comment.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. A little concerned with Brexit, Germany possibly facing a recession, possibly for us that. We look at a bigger picture because my income's not going up. A lot of people's is not going up to keep up with the rates of the port. So just a concern.
Certainly. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes, ma'am.
Kit Petridge. So I'm wondering if you can give, you had mentioned about dredging being on the docket for Quilcene, so just the approximate time. Maybe I missed, maybe it's probably somewhere that I missed, but that, and then also, oh, go ahead, you
can continue, then I'll address that.
Okay, and the other piece was if the port is still of the ilk to have the discussion of the tax levy held off until the end of October, just confirming that that's still what you're wanting to do. As far as like putting it out to the public.
I think the last thing first. I participated in a Rotary Club discussion yesterday, and I'm happy to go and
so by invite you are, but not publicly, correct?
Right. We only get one bite at that apple, so that's we're taking it at a time that will be fresh in people's mind when they have to put a mark on the sheet. So, and Jim can take the other.
So the first one, starting in January, we'll be working on dredging, but we're still in the permitting phase, so it could take a while, and that's going to be Fish and Wildlife's going to determine how long that's going to be. But our goal is next year to start a dredging program for closing for us.
Next, so starting January or sometime in 2020?
We probably won't be dredging until the fish window opens after July 15th, if all goes well for us.
Thank you.
That's it. The other thing is, we are planning to have an open house in Quilsing, probably the second week in October. We're going to have one here in Port Townsend also. We're going to have one in District 2 and one in Quilsing, where people can ask questions about the IDD. It's not about the IDD specifically, but certainly the commissioners will be there to answer questions. So that would be a good time, and we'll make sure you have plenty of notice so you can get people together.
And hopefully we won't panic.
You can give notice, right?
Yeah, we won't give notice.
Post it, right?
And hopefully we won't panic everybody down there just because we're having a meeting.
Yeah.
Mean something draconian is in the works.
That was another part of another piece that I'd forgotten. But is there a schedule where you are considering meeting in Quilsing, South County, perhaps twice a year, three times a year? I mean, I would highly encourage that, and I'm just wondering if that's been, if there is a schedule of where you bet you when, other than here.
I don't have that. Anytime the commissioners may want to go down there, we can do that.
I think a couple of years ago, we talked about ideally trying to have two meetings in Quilsing in a year, and I don't think we ever really have made that. Yeah,
and I think part of that, Kit, was a discussion about whatever we do in District 3, we got to do in District 2 as well. So we kind of have to make that commitment. It's not just 3, it's 2, so.
Well, that'd be great. So you do, how many you have, 24 a year, correct?
Right.
So 2 in Quill and 2 in 3, wow, that'd be nice. I think that would be very respectful of those communities.
We can put it.
Taxpayers.
Yeah.
Thank you for considering.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Hi, Charlie Kineski. I strongly urge all of you to let the new commissioner-elect, Pamela Chuck, whoever it's going to be the voting commissioner on the new ED job. And I certainly respect your 8 years' experience, Steve, but I'd love to serve with you as a citizen, an advisory role with you on that. But if you think about the citizens get a chance to vote, they want to vote for who's going to represent them. And the best way to get representation is have that person vote on who's going to do the work that they're representing their constituents to do. So strongly urge you to postpone the vote until the new commissioner is voted in.
We talked a little bit about that in the workshop that was kind of a component of the budgeting, but. You know, at the very earliest, it's going to be February before we have somebody to really consider, or a group of short list of people to consider. My, you know, kind of back of the envelope guesstimate is it's going to be like 6 months. It's going to be like March, maybe February, March timeframe. So whoever that District 1 commissioner is will be there and enrolled and certainly in selecting the short list. So
I appreciate that. That doesn't follow your schedule.
Yeah, let me just address, I would actually respectfully disagree with your comment. You know, commissioners are elected all the time and they come in with the sitting director. So when you think about, okay, what's in terms of bringing experience to the table and of selecting an executive director, is that someone who's never sat as a commissioner or someone of Steve's caliber who has sat as a commissioner? I think the deal of, well, we gotta wait for this new commissioner to show up to vote for an executive director, it's, in my mind, it's really irrelevant because most of the time, like 90% of the time, you don't have a new commissioner possibly showing up on the cusp of an executive director search going on.
Right. Here we do.
Here we do. And, yeah. and still, but I would just ask, what's the argument? I mean, why wouldn't we want the experience of the previous commissioner thinking about who's going to sit in that post best, particularly after we just went through this situation with Ms. Gibney, and that was a very tumultuous time that this court went through. And I think, particularly for Steve, we really suffered with that. We suffered because we made that choice. We also suffered with the consequences. And I think now going forward, when we look at this search firm going on, we're going to want to, you know, be really careful and circumspect how we look at the people that we're going to bring to the commission, bring to the port to lead it. So I'm a little reluctant to see the logic of why Pam or Chuck are going to have more experience than Steve in this regard.
Okay. 2 points quickly. One
yeah.
is I did check with several sitting political positions, city and county, and they agreed with what is it I emailed all of you strongly. And the other thing is regarding the what you call it, mishap of our prior choice, and I was involved with that, so I take my credit for that as well. The search firm scares me a little bit, the fact that they placed her where they did without doing the due diligence of finding out what happened in Port Townsend. So bear that in mind, please.
Yeah. I've never hired anyone, and I've been a hired manager. I've never hired anyone without a fairly thorough research. At least a Google search of their first and last name would be a minimum. And I am right there with you that it needs to be a thorough vetting. We can't afford, the port cannot afford to have the kind of issues we had before. I not at all do I want to lay this at all at Sam's feet. It was a very unfortunate set of circumstances and a very trying time for everybody. I think that whether, you know, if the issue is will the candidate-elect be, or the new commissioner be on the board to take that vote, I think that concern is maybe moot, because I can't imagine that we're going to move so fast that we're going to be able to do that if we wanted to.
But we're going to be talking about the schedule here in a little bit, and yeah. we can address all those concerns.
But with that in mind, I don't want to see us delay any further than we have. I mean, we wanted to see what sort of person the city would hire as a city manager, because we see that as a new collaboration that we need to build. And I think that, you know, the port and the county and the city really, in some very trying times ahead, are going to have to be much more collaborative. So, you know, we want somebody that can work with their peers.
Right, and that's not to say, I do want to say I appreciate very much your thinking and what you're doing to try to go about to get a new ED. So that is, I'm very much with you behind there, and offer my services, willing to participate as a citizen. So
thank you, Chuck.
Thank you.
I would just add one last thing on the search firm, Karis. They just went through a really exhaustive search for a new director for Washington Public Ports Association. I can tell you that I had several phone calls that were exemplary compliments of the thoroughness that firm did in bringing a wide range of candidates from a national arena to focus on WPPA. So I get it with Sam and Olympia, but I think all in all they did I would tell you in private, not in a public, there's some reasons of why that happened. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have we exhausted the public comments? Going once, going twice? Okay. Consent agenda. Has everybody got a chance to scan it?
Yeah, I'd like to have someone explain what a cafeteria plant is.
I need that too.
It's where you show your card and they give you the Jell-O.
It is an odd name, yes. It's based on the Section 125 of the IRS rules that allow an employee to obtain a benefit and pay for it before tax is applied to their salary. So that's all it is, and you're required by the IRS to have a plan in place if you offer that benefit.
Option.
Yeah. So it's more, it's kind of housekeeping. Want to make sure that we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's. I sent an email to Commission about a week or two ago about whether they wanted to participate in this. So.
Sent it to who?
To the Commission.
You've been offered this option.
You mean if we want to be part of the, mm-hmm. of the
yeah.
opt in?
Opt in. Mm-hmm. The part I have a problem with too is why is it in the consent agenda?
Because it's by resolution.
But why not? It just seemed an odd place to put it where we needed to have a discussion about it. So I guess we'll have a discussion about it now. I've never seen a resolution. Have I seen a resolution in the consent agenda before?
I checked with Sue.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
But I remember seeing, getting something that I didn't think pertained to me, having a, so this is a plan for what? Option to pay supplemental insurance on a pre-tax basis?
It's like AFLAC.
It's like AFLAC.
We all know about AFLAC.
Right. All that.
That's what this is, right. Basically, is it allows us employees and commissioners to pay for supplemental insurance. Doesn't cost support anything. It allows you pre-tax.
But the IRS requires us to have a plan.
Right.
To
that. That.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, I make a motion. We approve this consent agenda.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. There are no second readings. There are no first readings. We have some regular business. August year-to-date financials.
Yes, August year-to-date financials. We are looking healthy. Revenues are strong compared to the prior year as well as year-to-date budget. Operating expenses are looking good too in both arenas. A little closer to budget, but definitely below the prior year. And the only thing that's kind of off, I think we discussed this earlier in the workshop, is the grants, and that's related to the runway project, which got pushed to 2020. So our grant revenues are all off, but overall, the port's doing well. Our cash position is improving, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Oh, I was just going to say you had asked about the reserves. I didn't have that. I'm sorry. The reserves are on target. I mean, I know we had
round number.
I'd say the operating reserve we wanted to fund at $15,000 a month, and we've done that through September. And then the port wide we were doing at $10,000 a month. Also, it's through September, so the port wide is over $400,000.
Could you kind of, as much for the audience, sure. talk about the capital contributions, the increase there year to date, and
right.
also the non-operating revenue? Yeah, the non-operating revenue.
Mm-hmm. So with the non-operating revenue, the capital contributions and grants, the variance to the budget year to date is primarily, well, exactly related to the JCIA runway project, because at this point we had anticipated we would have started construction, we would have incurred expenses, and we would have been reimbursed. So that's where the number in the budget's coming from. And of course the project is still going on, and we are paying engineering and getting reimbursed for it. So year-to-date August, that's what those numbers are. The only other thing that's a little bit odd is the non-operating revenue, which was something, the miscellaneous line item.
Yeah.
That's real high because of the settlement on the Cobb.
Okay.
What?
The settlement on the Cobb, that
with
derelict
the,
vessel.
Seattle.
It was like a 2-year
Seattle Maritime
legal
Academy.
Process. Yeah.
Okay.
And so part of that is in there, and the other part is related to the New Day Fisheries building proceeds.
Okay. It's amazing to look at the variance between 18 and 19, and we're approaching $1 million.
It is amazing. It's just takes my breath away.
Yeah. It's a good thing.
Particularly looking at the cash position, too. I mean, I've been looking at the cash position ever since Dave Thompson sat next to me one time and said, you know, we keep going down $200,000 every year. Pretty soon we're going to be. And sure enough, it ticked down, and now it's going, we're way above where we've been, ever been for a long time. I'm really pleased with that.
Yep. It's a good thing.
Well, unless you have any questions, that's all I have.
Good job, Edie.
No, thank you. Very good job.
The search.
Now we're to the search stuff.
To the search.
So, we put this thing together based on the fact that I believe it'd be nice to have someone on board, actually here by February, by the end of February. To do that, we just backed everything up to what does that take? And this is what we came up with as far as the schedule. I certainly understand Charlie's concern. And I think there's a way around all that. My feeling is, I think it's really important that we include Commissioner Tucker, but that's not at the exclusion of the elected commissioner. So you see here what I did is I fudged it a little bit where the week of November 11th is when we would start doing candidate interviews. By then we would know who the successful candidate was. I talked to our attorney about how that successful candidate could be included in that decision-making process, so that's, we're working that through. I would like to see four people actually make that final decision, if we could somehow do that. So that's why I've scheduled it where we start interviewing November 11th, and the decision is made sometime between November 11th and the end of the year. And then from that point, it probably is gonna take whoever we select at least a month to unravel his life and or her life. And come on board. So that's the method to the madness. That can be moved.
When is the winter conference, the winter WPPA conference? Last week in November. So that would be the opportunity to get the baby commissioner class out of the way and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very aggressive schedule, and I don't know if we can meet this. But that's kind of the goal. And like I said, my contract goes to June. If I need to work an extra month, that's not just not a big deal. But that's kind of the goal we're setting. As far as process goes, I'm going to recommend to you, I went through the Anacortes process, and I'm still very impressed with how that worked. And it was a three-phase process. One was, it was a two-day interview. First day was an interview with stakeholders, which included the mayor of Anacortes and Marine Trades and, you know, the county commissioners, whatever. Basically getting all the stakeholders together, and there were about 12 people in the room, and it was really valuable. No commissioners were in the room, just stakeholders. The second interview that day was with every employee. So they brought in 31 employees to interview the candidates, which was frightening. But it was very telling of who they wanted to work with and who the person could see what his staff would look like, or staff. And then the third day was commissioners, and that was an executive session, and they went through and they made the final decision. The consultant basically advised the commission on what the employees said and what the stakeholders said. So going into those interviews the second day, the commissioners were fully aware of the feedback that was gotten from the previous day's interview. There was also the night in between was a meet and greet. There were four of us, and we were at Majestic Hotel, I think it was, and just meet and greet whoever wanted to come from the community. It was a great process, and I think it would work here very well, if you guys are open to that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's an excellent process.
Okay.
So back on the scheduling, I'm not sure if somebody doesn't specifically want me to choose or not, but I know that I've learned a lot of lessons from having been here this long and having also chosen a commission or an executive director. So my suggestion would be to have, like you said, the commissioner-elect be a fourth person. But then, if it goes past the first of the year, then I would no longer be a commissioner. I would be willing to come back if you want me to, and on a consultant, go ahead and evaluate and vote too. So
that could work either way, where you would be the fourth person, mm-hmm. or the successful candidate would be the fourth.
Yeah, I guess I certainly want whatever advice we get. I think that it seems a bit strange to me to have if it's a three person commission. You know, if we do it in 2019, I think it unlikely. If we made that selection in 2019, then I think it would be Steve casting the vote with whoever was the elect in the room with an opinion and entering in the discussion, certainly. If it was in a 2020 decision, you know, and we could prevail on Steve to come back and, you know, do an evaluation and give his opinion, I think that would be valuable, but I think it would be the then new commissioner that would cast the vote. That's just my opinion, you know, so.
I'm good. Yeah, I mean, I'm good with the schedule. I think I'm a bit confident kind of letting Jim run with this. He's just been running with it as far as WPPA goes, and I know he played a pretty pivotal role in that process, so.
Did you get a call from the president?
No,
I didn't. But, I got that call, yeah. I didn't tell you that we got a call from the WPPA guy saying,
I don't care what you think.
He said, I don't care what you think about Jim. He's okay.
Yeah, no, no one out there in the audience is going to know what we're talking about. Jim just went through this process finding an executive director for the WPPA using the same search firm. And now that it's done, the people with the WPPA called us as commissioners to thank us for having Jim be gone and doing that. They said that it was just a wonderful experience, and Jim did a perfectly marvelous job. So I've never had anyone call me and congratulate me on having Jim do that well before. That was a good thing.
You ever give me good reports about Jim?
Bertram complimented.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. That's true.
I'm kind of fascinated, Steve. You learned a number of lessons in the. Would you mind sharing some of those lessons that you've learned about choosing?
I think that's for your book, right?
You tell all the time to Jim.
No, no, you.
Oh, me?
You said you learned a number of lessons. I was really curious.
Well, I haven't sit down and enumerated them all right now, but I've been in going through that process. There's some things that I figure out that you can do wrong and you can be right. One of the things that we try to do is we can talk something absolutely to death. And one of the things that I want to not fall in the trap of is to drag this thing out interminably and have everyone giving their heat and their light, but no really ideas. Make the thing be succinct and timely and get all the input, but don't just dawdle. I mean, you could talk this thing over for a year if you wanted to, easily a year. Have people debating and so on. So do that. And let's see, what else was I thinking? Oh yeah, in the process of selecting Sam, I went ahead and asked other people at other ports, you know, how they did it. And I have gotten all sorts of information. I mean, more than I can share right here, but pitfalls that other people had gone through, you know, they'd all heard about what happened here, obviously. And pitfalls that other people have gone through and ways that they had corrected those things. And I mean, almost everyone that I've spoken with had either a scary tale or a tale of triumph, you know, and how they went ahead and did this thing. So there's so much out there, because every commission team of commissioners has had to hire executive directors. We didn't have to for a long time because Larry was here for a really long time. But the average tenure for an executive director is 6 to 7 years. And so lots of these people have done a lot of this hiring. And since we just had an experience that I wanted to find out about, I talked to a lot of people about it, and I got a lot of information. So
Yeah, I really want to find an executive director that has something like a 10-year here, because I want a long enough time that people will forget that it's my fault that we hired him. Anyway, so more on that subject?
So we put together a draft job announcement. Hopefully you guys have a chance to look at it. We don't have to go through line by line at it, but if there are things in here you see, I think we did a pretty good job putting together with the vision. There's some typos in here, obviously, but the vision of what we're looking for, I think, is well reflected in this.
Couple things. Just to answer your question, Bertram, so going through the process the first time, without the search firm, it definitely, I felt, left the door open for kind of your personal emotions to get involved in the decision of who are we going to pick. And I don't know if you remember that particular day between Greg Englund or Sam Gibney. I mean, it was really down to the wire of, we all broke for a lunch break and we came back, and it literally could have been one or the other. And it really ended up, for me personally, being more of an emotional decision than it did being a rational decision based on fact or knowledge. And, so I'm kind of personally interested to see, and I wasn't really for a search firm to begin with in the first go around. It's like, oh, do we really have to spend that money? But I am interested to see, these people seem to be quite good at what they do. I'm really interested to see how it works, where they're bringing a non-emotional, you know, they're not from Port Townsend. They're not looking at it in terms of, okay, who in Port Townsend is going to work. It's interesting to note that if we do have a candidate here that floats up from Port Townsend that throws their hat in the ring to be the executive director, in the search with WPPA, James Thompson was nominated to be the executive director who works for WPPA. He was kind of, has the existing director left, he was thrown in as acting director and threw his hat in the ring, and after a national search, they ended up nominating him. So I was pleased to see that you know, it doesn't, just because they're a nonpartisan kind of neutral party coming into this process, doesn't mean that the local guy can't float to the surface if the talent's there. So I was pleased with that. One other quick thing. This is an excellent first paragraph, and that letter that we were looking at, the letter that we talked about in the workshop, mm-hmm. I think we should pull this out and inject it into that letter.
Plagiarize?
Exactly.
The first paragraph?
Yeah. I thought we talked about the mission of the port, and mm-hmm. I thought it was excellent.
That's, you mean, our mission statement, or are you just talking about the whole first page?
No, not the mission statement. About the port of Port Townsend. This mm-hmm. one right here. Right. Yeah.
Which one?
The blue one?
Third paragraph?
The first paragraph.
Page 13 of your packet.
Right.
The mission of the Port of Port Townsend, blah, blah, blah. I thought that was a great paragraph.
Yeah, well, that's our mission statement.
Yeah.
So we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So we'll continue on. If there are any edits to that, I'm hearing that we might want to just continue the process, but not kind of go out of our way to make a Friday deadline. Because right now the schedule assumes that this will hit the street Friday. It's better to be right than fast. So you really just continue.
Well, I'd like to see it. I don't have any problem. Okay. Do you want to edit this?
We don't have to today, but if you could just shoot me your edits in an email, it'd be great.
I didn't have anything. I thought it was great.
Okay. Good. We'll just continue then.
Okay. Bid opening results for the Oakingman Breakwater project.
We are pleasantly surprised. You know, quite often we get engineers' estimates and the bids come in way high. This is to repair the storm damage to the Bohaven Breakwater right outside the commercial basin. The engineer's estimate was $300,000, and the low bidder was American, the apparent low bidder, I should say, because we're still doing due diligence. $245,000 plus tax. So The next bidder was Pacific Pile at 317 and Quick Brothers at 361. So anyway, American is the people that did the last repair to the breakwater that we did here 2 years ago. So they know the drill, they know the area. And,
so Abigail, you thought that as a wild guess that the insurance on that would come back something in the $50,000 ballpark, so we're on would be on the hook for the almost 200,000 balance, and that would come out of
200.
Just an operating expense.
NOI, yeah, not operating.
Can you clarify? I couldn't hear that. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. NOI. NOI.
The dollar difference. I couldn't hear the dollar.
The 200,000.
200,000 is what we would have to pay.
Yeah.
Presumably the insurance underwriters would pay something like 50,000, although it's not determined yet.
Okay. Yeah, that's a guess.
Or maybe I'm. I've looked at everything. Yeah.
Don't write that down.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't done the capital analysis of everything else too. So it could be the breakwater or the Boathaven renovation reserve, because it is Boathaven.
Okay.
That's about 600.
This is something that's bad enough that we really need to address this week. So we'll bring back a contract with you as soon as we're done with our due diligence and move forward.
So that's going to be in June, though, before that can start up, right?
No, we can do it this window.
Oh, this window, okay.
Yep. So before February 15th, we want it done.
Yeah.
And they can fix the Boathaven or Boat Point Hudson as well?
Yeah. Same price?
They start working the style wall.
What did you do?
Move the equipment down there. Okay. Staff comments.
Okay.
Abigail?
Nope.
Legal? Frank?
No comments.
I have a lot of comments.
No.
I just got this today in an email. It's from the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And what they want to do is they want to do a study with mussels, and they want to use our beach. So I was kind of joking to myself.
Do they want them alive on?
Well, Mussel Beach. They do this study all through Puget Sound. There's over 50 monitoring spots where they actually put a pen of mussels out near civilization and test them. They're proposing to put one on the corner of the breakwater out here at Boathaven. Mm-hmm. Just the closed corner out by the beach. Mm-hmm. And it would be there. They would put it in October, remove it in January. So this is in conjunction with the Marine Science Center. The Marine Science Center will be doing the actual monitoring. And I think it's a good opportunity to partner with the Marine Science Center and Fish and Wildlife.
I had coffee with them as well.
But I wanted to let you know that we've done this in the past, this kind of stuff, and I was going to do it unless you have an objection to me allowing this pen to be put out there for a couple months.
So it's going to be by the part of the breakwater that doesn't have an entrance.
Right.
It's on the. I would think that it would be more useful to have the mussel box put at the part where the entrance is, because then you'd be able to. Well, I mean, it'd be up to the guys at the science center, but then you'd be able to see if there's anything coming in or out of the. The harbor.
I don't think they're looking for our pollution. That's not. They're looking for the literal drift coming down through the cut, and I think that's where they're thinking a good locate. But I don't know. This is their recommendation. So.
And the reason I suggested that is because a long, long time ago, there was a big red sign on the beach right back of the whorehouse that said this beach is closed to harvesting of shellfish. And that's all it said. And so I called everybody, Fish and Wildlife, and yada, yada, yada. And it was that sign was there from the Department of Health. And the reason the Department of Health put that sign there is because they don't monitor the beach. And they say, that since it's in such close proximity to an urban area, we just put them up willy-nilly, stick them there, and can't climb there. So it would be interesting to see that place that they determined was unsafe, just because they don't monitor it, actually monitor it. And it's like close to an urban area, which is what their criteria was for placing that sign there in the first place. I think it would be interesting to see that.
Well, we can talk to the coordinator if you'd like. Mm-hmm.
I could actually.
There's a whole packet they sent me. It's like 20 pages. I can forward on to you if you'd like to read exactly what they're doing and what they're testing for and all the, and where the test sites are going to be.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll send you that.
Thank you.
The next thing is, last meeting, I think it was, Laura Guth came from Emergency Management to talk to you about the DART thing that was going to happen. It happened last weekend. She emailed me this afternoon. It was a huge success. They had 25 pilots from Jeffco, Kitsap, Clallam, Walla Walla, Anacortes in California participate. The 24 aircraft flew 30 sorties and delivered 5,000 pounds of food to our food bank. So this is stuff coming from all over the region to our food bank to really, you know, talk about if there is an emergency or is general aviation able to help. She's happy to report no injuries, no damaged aircraft. It was a resounding success, and she wanted to thank the commission for their support of that mission.
Yeah, just to comment to that, I didn't participate, but I was there. I was out there that morning, and it was, it started off IFR, instruments only, and then it moved to MVFR, minimal visual. So it was a bad morning, weather-wise. There was a lot of kind of that cloud, misty fog thing going on, and so it was pretty hard to even get operations going for quite a while of the morning. And yet they were still, it was really cooking by noon with planes. So, yeah, that was impressive to watch that.
I have none. I was out at the DART thing in the afternoon.
Yeah.
People were there and planes were there and they were reeling them in and parking them, and they figured out, I guess in the morning they were parking them with the props out, and by the afternoon they figured that maybe if they just kind of park them with the props in and shut them down and then push them back to get them up, so they don't blow everything all over the place.
Yeah.
So they improved as the day went on, and by the afternoon it was a well-oiled machine.
So did they practice unloading the planes and then into trucks and then delivering it? That was the whole thing. It wasn't just airplanes.
Yeah, the food bank brought trucks to transport stuff. Mm-hmm. So it actually picked up and delivered, and I guess Bremerton, all over the Sound, there were planes coming in. So we put a little announcement on the AWOS so that gave pilots at least a clue, but I think it looked pretty well ordered. Things just went in with a normal flow. It's always kind of busy there on Saturdays and Sundays anyway, so it probably didn't make much of a dent. And so that's about all I have. I did have a conversation this morning with the exec, with Janine from the Maritime Center.
Marine Science Center.
She invited me for coffee, and had to get the, you know, dispensation for Frank. I accepted a cup of coffee from. But I think unless it was some of the rare, you know, tropical blends, it wasn't. So, but I have nothing else, and so the next public workshop and regular meeting of the Port of Port Townsend will be. Is this not the one we moved, right?
Nope. No.
Okay. We'll be Wednesday, October 9th at 9:30 a.m. for the workshop and 1 o'clock p.m. for the meeting in this building. And there is no executive session. And Commission of the Port of Port Townsend stands adjourned.
Almost a record. 44 minutes.
Moving right along.